You may be seated. Almighty Father, this morning we come before you again, Lord, as your people, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we agree with the words of that song. We come to bless your name, the God of all, the Creator, the King of the universe. We thank you, Father, for your very presence in this place this morning. And truly, we are here to really sense and worship you in new and dynamic ways, Father. Thank you, Father, for knowing our hearts. None of us we know are perfect. But I pray that you would continue to first and foremost search us and teach us and help us to surrender those things in our lives that don't please you. Help us to surrender our lives completely and fully to you, Lord, that we might be instruments of righteousness for your name's sake in the world that we live in the places that you have called us to minister, in our everyday lives, in our jobs, in our schools, in our homes, with our families, in all that we say and all that we do, Father, we pray that we would bring glory to your name. We come before you this morning, Father, again with many different needs, and we thank you, God, that the promise of Scripture tells us that we can come boldly into your throne room, that we can just make our needs known. Not that you don't know them, because you already do, but you want us to speak those things out, Lord. You want us to tell them to you from where we're living, from our perspective. And then we know that you always graciously answer. Now, we admit, Father, sometimes the answer that you give, we don't necessarily like at first, but we know, Lord, that all answers are for our good. The Scripture reminds us that in all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And so this morning, we do pray for a bunch of different needs. This morning, we do lift up our missionaries in Australia, the Schaefers. We thank you, Father, for Carol and the family, and pray that you would minister to their particular needs of bereavement and loss and mourning, the loss of Fred, Father. We can stand in full assurance that we know that Fred is in your presence. But we pray for those who are left behind, for Carol and for their kids, and for the Acts ministry, Father. We pray that you would direct that ministry, and that ministry would continue to grow and flourish and make a difference for the Aboriginal people of Australia. We do continue to pray for Jay Brown, who is recovering from surgery. We pray for Kathy Bouchard this morning, who is getting ready for a hip replacement, Father. We pray that you would be close to her, Father. We do continue to pray for different people with cancer. We think of, you know, folks like Stephanie and Derek and Peter and others, Father. We pray that you would be close to them. We pray for Jessica, who is lying in the Beverly Hospital and just had a heart attack, Father. We pray that you would not only bring healing, Father, but you would challenge her with the gospel. And I do pray this morning for our dear sister Joy. We haven't seen her in so many weeks now, Lord, but we know that Sheila and Ted continue to minister to her, and I know that this congregation misses her. So I pray that you would encourage her heart in the days that lie ahead. And these needs are just representation of so many other needs in the context of our relationships with people that we know and love and care about, Father. We thank you, Father, for the missionary efforts of the church, and especially we pray for the work that's going on in Syria and Turkey as our missionaries and others help those nations to recover from these devastating earthquakes in the rebuilding process, Father. And we know there's been a tremendous loss of life and tremendous injuries, Father. So we just pray that you would help those nations to recover. And we just pray that you would continue to be with them. And we also pray, Lord God, for Ukraine, and pray that that war, which is well over a year old now, Lord, would just come to an end, that peace could be worked out, Lord, and that the Ukrainian people could be spared any more misery. We thank you this morning for our nation. We are grateful, Father, that we can worship in a nation that's free, that we can come and worship anytime, any place, without worrying about somebody trying to come and arrest us or to stop us or tear down our faith. We pray, Father, that you would continue to be with our nation's leaders, with our president, with our congressional leaders, with the leaders in the court, with our local and state leaders, Father. We know, God, that all leaders in government have been placed there by your will, by your choice, for whatever purposes you have chosen, Lord. And so we just pray that you would give them wisdom and strength that's from on high, that they would truly be leaders who would be willing to lead our nation, our local places, our state, in righteousness, because we know that the scripture teaches that righteousness does exalt a nation. And so, Father, we pray that that would happen, and that we pray that we would continue to make a difference, Lord, for our people and for our nation as individual citizens. We also pray for our church this morning, Father. I thank you, Father, for this local expression of the body of Christ, for a living hope. We pray, Father, that you would continue to lead and guide us and help us to understand your will. Help us, Lord, to continue to grow as disciples and as disciplers. We pray for those opportunities, God, that you would give us. I know that each one of us has at least one person that we should be praying for, that we've been praying for, Father. And we pray that that ground would be broken. We pray that those relationships would be built and that more people would be won to the kingdom of God because of our faithfulness and obedience. We pray for our pastor and his wife. We thank you, God, for Gene and Linda, and pray that you continue to keep them safe while they're on vacation, and certainly pray for these days that are ahead in their lives. And then I give you Della this morning. I thank you, God, for her, and I know that you have prepared her heart. I pray that you would anoint her message, that you would hide her, God, behind the cross, that you would give her the authority and the boldness to speak on your behalf this morning. And Lord, I pray for us as the message comes forth, that we would open our hearts and open our minds and be willing to listen, to learn, and put things in the context of obedience. And so, Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for who you are this morning. We thank you, God, for your very presence in this place, and pray that you would continue to teach us to be disciples of Christ. And we ask this in the precious name of our soon returning Savior, the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen and amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 3. I know Della's going to focus on certain verses, but I'm going to read the whole section. We'll have the context, and then I know it's going to be good. And good morning to everyone watching. I know there are some people who aren't feeling well, and we're thinking of you, and I'm praying for you. Finally, all of you should be of one mind, full of sympathy towards each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. This is what God wants you to do, and he will bless you for it. For the scriptures say, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil, and keep your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Work hard at living in peace with others. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't be afraid and don't worry. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if you are asked about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But you must do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak evil against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ also suffered when he died for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners that he might bring us safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison, those who disobey God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building his boat. Only 8 people were saved from drowning in that terrible flood. And this is a picture of baptism, which now saves you by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Baptism is not a removal of dirt from your body. It is an appeal to God from a clear conscience.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Beth, for reading that. I think it's important to get... I think it's important to get the whole message, right? So this morning, I want to welcome everybody that is at home, online, watching. And I want to welcome all of you here. And, you know, I want us to, we'll be getting into 1 Peter 3, 8 through 22 this morning, which is basically talking about suffering for doing good. All right, so we're going to start off with a video this morning. So if you can just sit back, relax, pay attention, and then we will get into the word.
Rabbi.
You couldn't wait, could you?
We're sorry, we just wanted to clear a few things up, if that's okay.
By all means.
You Jewish boys are far from home.
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are. Shalom to you too.
Here's our traditional Jewish greeting for you.
Don't lift a finger.
That was a warning.
Try it again and see what happens.
Quiet, Big James.
Shalom to you too. Oh, you filthy dogs!
I said quiet.
Let us do something.
And what would that achieve?
Defending your honor.
They reviled and humiliated you.
They deserve to have bolts of lightning rain down and incinerate them.
Yes, fire from the heavens.
Fire?
You said we could do things like that. Say the word and it will happen.
Why not? We knew we couldn't trust these people. We shouldn't have come here in the first place. They don't deserve you.
Why do you think I had you work Melek's field? What was I trying to teach you?
To help?
You think it was just to be more helpful? Or to be better farmers?
It was to show you that what we're doing here will last for generations. What I told Fotina at the well, and what she then told so many others, it's sowing seeds that will have a lasting impact for lifetimes. Can you not see what's happening here? These people that you hate so much are believing in me without even seeing miracles. It's the message, the truth that we're giving them. And you're going to get in the way of that because a few people from a region you don't like were mean to you. That they're not worthy? What, you're so much better? You're more worthy? Well, let me tell you something. You're not. That's the whole point. It's why I'm here.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Rabbi. As we gather others, I need you to help show the way. To be humble.
We will.
You wanted to use the power of God to bring down fire, to burn these people up?
Well, it sounds a lot worse when you say it that way.
You too. You're like a storm on the sea.
thunder exploding out of your chests at every turn. In fact, that's what I'm going to call you from now on. James and John, the Sons of Thunder.
How often do we feel that way? We live in a world that challenges us. And today we're going to talk about we will be suffered, we will judge, we will be judged, we will have those people that call us and we want to take action and we want to respond to their meanness, cruelty, injustice. But that's not what God calls us to. God calls us to something else. And that's what we're looking at here is 1 Peter 3, 8 through 22. I'm going to break it down each piece because Beth read the whole thing for us, and I thank you for that. And now we're going to take it piece by piece and get into it. So 8 through 9 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not pay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessings, because to you this is called, you are called to, that you may inherit a blessing. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ. He was the living evidence on this earth. He also called Peter and so many others to show us what the difference is when we have the truth and we have the word. So many people in our world today don't have the truth. They don't have the word. They don't have Jesus in their hearts. So you are blessed, and don't take that for granted. Before Peter had Christ, if you, anybody here, how many people here are watching The Chosen or seeing it? So if you remember back in The Chosen, what Peter was like before he had the Lord in his heart, he was impulsive, belligerent, domineering, and arrogant. How many of us lived there one time in our lives? How many people can honestly, me too, Michael, me too. I know what that feels like. So who am I to think I'm any better than somebody else in the world, right? It's when Christ comes into our hearts that we learn to live with harmony, compassion, love, and humility. And we need to remember, if you think about what that looks like, I mean, I can personally look at my own life, and I know what that looks like. Right? I could be James and John and be like, no, we need to do something. We need to retaliate for what they just did. That's not okay. Right? I have that power to do that, but that's not it. That's not what's going to make lifelong impressions on the people out there. When they see us, we should look different. You and I, we're called to be witnesses to the folks out there that don't know what it's like. And when they see us, they should go, I want that. You know, and it's not only me and you who's having a conversation and you're being mean to me. There are people over here watching too. If it's our children, our family members, they should see something different. It is important that we live our lives, and we are now to be the evidence of what the truth looks like when we walk with the Lord. Our pride should be turned to humility. Our insensitivity should be turned to affections for others. There are five key elements that I would kind of bring to you today. Of course, there's many more, right? But these are the ones we're going to talk about today. As believers, we should be one-minded. We should be thinking about the same thing. And that is ultimately to save souls, to bring people to Jesus. And then he does the work. It's not us. We are his hands and feet. We are to witness for him. We are to love people, and we are to bring people Give them a Bible when they don't have one. Have a conversation if they need it. And first and foremost, pray for them continuously. As we talked about this morning, we don't always get to see the result of those prayers, but God calls us to that. We are to love one another as brothers and sisters, and even the ones that we don't like, even those people that we consider unlovable. And I hope that we bring tenderness. Not being, you know, I talk a lot about in some of the classes about not Bible beating people, because that's not it. If we're witnesses and we're showing love and compassion, that's what people see. That's what people need to know. That's what Christ calls us to. Humility. When you have been a Christian for so long, we don't always understand, how come you don't get this? How come you don't have Christ in your life? Maybe that right person is you, and you're to love on them and show them how. Right? So hopefully we are realizing that we're not better than anybody else out there. And as it said in the video, who are we to judge others? Right? So hopefully we'll be able to go out there and not be a stumbling block for people. In today's world, people don't see anything wrong with putting someone down so that they can look better. You see this more often than not in this world, right? So many people will use you and step on you to get where they want to go. We're not to answer that. Right? It's unfortunate, and it is, but that's not who we are. We're not going to build this church on other people stepping on other people. We're going to build this church by loving people and building up souls and bringing them to Christ. It's also common for people to strike back. When someone hurts you, I'm going to hurt you more. And I unfortunately have to say, I know how that is. I very strong personality, and if you hurt me, if I didn't cut you out, if I cut you out, you were lucky, because I could be that person to strike back. So when I say that I understand what Peter was like without Christ, now I have Christ in my life, and it's hard. It's not always easy when someone hurts you to walk away and say, Lord God, please help that person. Because if they're hurting you, they're hurting. Their world is dark, right? Because they wouldn't have the need to do that. So we need to turn the other cheek, as Jesus would say in Matthew, right? Jesus teaches us to be different. He tells us that we should turn the other cheek in Matthew 5:39. He encourages us to pay back with blessings. And the best thing you can do is to pray for that person. Because if they're hurting you, I'm guaranteeing you they're hurting, or they've learned something very wrong from somebody else that's hurting. And again, it goes back to when someone sees what you, how you respond, speaks volumes to people when you love on them and just go, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry, you know, that you're hurting so much that you have to attack me. And it's not only the relationship between me and you, but it's also the exterior, those are the people who see and that you're making a difference to. If it's not that one person in front of you, there's a whole world out there that's watching us. Trust me. They can't wait until you, I mean, my own daughter will say, that's not very pastor-like for you to say. Like, what do you mean? And it is from her perception, right? But then I have to kind of look back and go, okay, was it something? And usually it's not. It's usually just her teenageism that, you know, she's throwing her judgment out there. But I just go, oh, how did that look? How was my response, you know? And then I have to check myself and go, all right, it's just Anna. No, but she's watching, right? She's watching everything I do. You don't see her here on Sunday mornings, but she is watching everything I do. And all the conversations I have, like when I have conversations with Laurie, or I tell her about a conversation I might have had with April or Sheila or Yvette, she she's hearing those things. And she actually was in town the other day, and she sent me a thing, and it says, Jesus loves you with these candles. And she was out to dinner with her friends and felt the need to send me that. I was like, well, all right. Right, so we're going to go on to 10, where it says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. James 3 also tells us if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect. Thing is once you say it, you can't take it back. You can apologize. You can, you know, repent and say to that person, I'm sorry that I said that because, you know, but what came out of your heart and came out of your mouth, you need to really bring that to the Lord if it was something that was hurtful or even deceitful. And it's not uncommonplace, right, to see it today. Things like gossip, insults, as we talked a little bit about striking back with verbal attacks, those are the things we got to guard against because that's just not okay. It's not of God. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. They is us. Right? We need to pursue peace. And it's not just about doing good things, right? It's more than that, much more than that. So when we look at peace, a lot of people would say, oh, it's just a presence or an absence of conflict. It's more than that. Or peacemakers, they're so passive. They're so easy. No, they're active, right? So you have to pursue peace. It's not just going to come to you, not in this world anyways, it's not going to come to you. Right? We have to actually be building relationships and be spending time with each other and understanding that there are going to be problems and we are going to have to deal with them, but we should deal with them before they arrive, right? If we see, like, if you know somebody tends to be opinionated and judge somebody and they come in our doors and you see them talking about Eva and you're like, you know what? This really needs to stop. And before that person leaves that conversation or the conversation with you, you might want to say, you know what? This really isn't godly. This isn't really what we're called to do. And you know what? Eva, I love her. She is my sister in Christ. And you're my sister or brother in Christ too, and I want to love you. But let me tell you something. If someone's talking about somebody else, when they leave that room, they're probably talking about you too, right? So we need to make sure that we deal with these types of things before they become unmanageable and they spread. Making peace or keeping peace is hard work, but it is also God's blessing. We are called to that. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayers, and the face of God turns against those who do evil. We have God's attention. We have his ear. He hears us when we pray. He's our protector from whatever is out there, right? We can never, ever, ever lose sight of that. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? They will. They will try. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear for their threats. Do not be frightened. But in the heart that reveres Christ as Lord, will always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. As a church, that's what we're doing right now. We're getting ready. We're spending time with each other. We're in the Word. We're learning. We're hearing stories this morning and in class. We heard stories about how the Lord's moving in each and everybody's life in our church here and how it's being obedient. And then we come out and then it affects, different stories with the prayers. You don't see the results until, you know, a moment and someone shares a story with you and says, oh yeah, he accepted the Lord. He accepted the Lord, you know, a year ago. Praise the Lord, you get that and you hear that. We don't always get to see it or be part of it. Sometimes we are actually part of that process. And that's what we're learning right now as a church when we do our classes on Sunday morning or Thursday night or we go to the Chosen on Wednesday. We're learning from each other. Peter says believers are to replace fear with faith and honor for Christ as the Lord. We can rest in him, have no fear. When believers honor him in their hearts, they have confidence that he controls the situation, not you. Need to believe that the Lord reigns as king and he has all power and all authority. When he sends you out there, it's not you. It's the Lord working in you. But you need to be available and you need to be ready and you need to be in the Word and praying. That's how you ready yourself. And fellowship strengthens us and gives us confidence. We should never be boisterous, obnoxious when we share our faith. We should always be ready to give the answers in a gentle, respectful way. Try to remember what it felt like when you weren't fully devoted to the Lord. Or maybe we had those moments where we said those things that we weren't supposed to say. When we are asked about our beliefs, life choices, Christian perspectives, because people will ask when they see it. Make sure that you hand that over to God. What is it that I need to say right now? How is it that I'm supposed to approach this person? What is it they need to hear? You can't see that. You don't always know, but God knows, and he can put it on your heart, and you can listen to him. So please, I ask you to be part of this process. Be part of some of these classes that are going on. Be part of some fellowship. Somebody I know goes to triads. It's not even part of this church, but it was once. That is preparation to be able to answer and respond to God's calling for you. Be ready to share your story. Kind of goes back to what Jean said to me a couple weeks ago. You know, as a pastor, you better be ready to teach and preach at all times. You need to be ready to talk about how the Lord worked in your life. What did he do? How is he working in your life now? We have experiences that are very important for people to hear. Verse 16, keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. We can't control what other people say or do. We can control what we do and not give them ammunition and do what is right. So when they accuse us or they talk maliciously against us, it's empty. And someone goes, you know what? That's not who Michael is. What she just said is not right because they know Michael. That's what the response people should have, and it should shame them when they do this. But if we don't act accordingly or behave accordingly and we don't walk as Christ calls us to walk, then we give them ammunition. For Christ also suffered once for sin, for the righteous and the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Right? He wants us to bring them to God. He also puts to death. He was put to death in the body, but is still alive in the spirit, and that lives within each and every one of us. the traditional interpretation of this would be that about the death and the resurrection, right? Christ announced salvation to those who were faithful and who waited and followed God. We are blessed. We are so, so blessed. I cannot imagine living in this world today without the Lord. Christ is the good news. He offers salvation, and his victory is unlimited. God saves, and he rescues. He calls us to build relationships so that we can be his example. Verse 19, after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, and there was only 8 in all that were saved through the water. We look at it, we're going to look at verse 21, and this, the water symbolized baptism that is now saved. You also, not the removal of dirt from your body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Christ. Let's not be confused. Baptism is us identifying Christ, who separates us from the lost and gives us new life. The ceremony does not save us. Rather, the ceremony confirms who we are in Christ. It confirms what he says that we believe about his death and resurrection. If you think about, we've been blessed with having ceremonies. We've been able to share our story. You need to be ready to share your story during that baptism. And it's to those people who are closest to you that you share that. That's hard. I can stand up here all day long and talk to you guys because I know you believe like I believe. When you bring someone else in, you know, it's like, you know, Jesus says when he went to Nazareth, none of them listened. We go in within our own families and sometimes they don't listen if we want to preach at them. But if we walk the walk and they see it, and as Dave got baptized and his own family members sat here and said, how'd that happen? Tell me your story. Back during Peter's time, this also was a time that baptism was used because it was a time of persecution, right? So believers were very tempted to renounce their faith. But with making a public declaration, you're less likely to do that, right? You're less likely to turn if you tell the whole world, including those closest to you. When I tell my daughter something, she's the first one to call me out on it. And now my husband and my sons, right? But that's okay. Because the fact that they can call me out, that they know the difference, like, Mom, that's not pastoral-like. But she knows the difference. How does she know the difference? Because of the life and the witness that we make, right? 22. Who has gone into heaven? Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand. He's with the angels and has all authority and all power over all things. Peter exalted Christ and his victory over everything. The angels, all power and all authority was given to him. Peter himself was an eyewitness to Christ's ascension. He had watched as Jesus was taken up into the clouds, it says in Acts 1:19. He ascends into heaven. Envision that. He was here among us and gave the best example of what we're supposed to look like. And the only way we're going to know that is if we're learning and we're in the Word and we're watching The Chosen, spending time with each other, because sometimes we don't agree. Maybe I don't have it right, but maybe Diane can teach me, right? Sits at the right hand of the Father. What a place to be. Isn't that really where we want to be someday? Not today. I want to be here right now. But when it's all said and done, I praise the fact that when we think about Fred and his family, that they have that blessing of knowing exactly where he is. He worked hard. That man had so much passion for the Lord. And it didn't matter where he was or who you were, he would tell you all about the Lord, and he wanted you to know how to get to know him. It's amazing. So we know that Fred is on the other side of heaven today, and that is a blessing. And ultimately, that is the best blessing any of us can ask for. But we got work to do. We're not done here. The Lord has called us to do work. And it's in Christ's name that we do that. And do not get lost in it's about you. It's about the Lord. He has all the power. He should get all the glory. And we need to hand over all that to him. So as we leave here today, I ask you to please give it to him hands down so that we can go out there and be blessings. Right? So all the power goes to the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we thank you because we know, Lord, that we need to keep our eyes focused on you, that we need to remember that this is a hard world and there are hard people out there, and they will sometimes insult us. They may spat on us. I hope not, but if they will, and if they do, please make our response proper. Help us to represent you well, Lord. Help us to remember to turn the other cheek and to respond the way you tell us to respond, Lord, with prayer. To bless those. It's easy to love those who we love. It's not always easy to love our enemies. But Lord, when we do, when we hand it over to you in prayer, not only is that possible that that person may find you, but it rekindles our spirit. It reminds us that we are to be humble, gentle, sensitive, and loving. So Lord, as we leave this place and we go into a world that can be very difficult, help us, Lord, to always remember that if we suffer and it's for the greater good, it's for your kingdom, then so be it. Lord, just give us the power and the perseverance as we leave this place and we go into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
For this morning's offering, there's a verse from the book of James that stood out to me. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if somebody says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for their body, what good is that? So also, faith is by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That's James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. If the ushers would